Hi, this is Anna Herring, the Kids Ministry Director from Reality Kids, and you are listening to the Policies and Procedures Training. This training is to help equip you guys so that we together can create a safe, a fun, functional, and Christ-centered environment in kids ministry. And these policies and procedures help us not only teach kids about the love of Jesus, but to give the kids an opportunity to experience the love of Jesus on a Sunday. And so I will be going through each one of our policies and procedures. The first policy is our two-person policy. There are always two volunteers in any space where children are present. No volunteer should ever be alone with a child or a group of children. The two volunteers must always have the other in a direct line of sight. If a volunteer needs to step out, they need to make sure they're not leaving another volunteer alone with the kids. I'm going to pause there. Sometimes kids need to use the restroom, and that requires one volunteer to leave while the other one stays behind because they're going to take that child to the restroom. Or sometimes a child doesn't want to leave the class when all the other kids are required to because of the structure of kids ministry. When this happens, you will need assistance from another person to help the situation no matter what it is. So in that case, moving on, you will need to call the coordinator over if assistance is needed. Now, the coordinator is a very specialized volunteer who will walk around during the service and support you volunteers as needed. They will refill your supplies and do photocopies and call a parent when needed. And when there's a child that needs to use the restroom or is having challenging behavior and doesn't want to go with the rest of the class and wants to stay behind, that coordinator you're going to need that coordinator in that moment. So please call the coordinator over if you ever need assistance. Now, our bathroom diaper policy. There are two parts to this policy. One is for you volunteers and the other one is for like kids, handling the bathroom with kids. So for you volunteers, if you need to use the restroom, please ensure that there are still two volunteers in the room with the children to maintain the two-person policy that we mentioned before. This might require, once again, calling the coordinator over to stay in the room until you return. Also, there are bathrooms throughout kids ministry. However, volunteers are required to use the restroom in the hallway off the lobby. That's the one where the men's bathroom is, the two women's bathrooms, where the supply room is, the kids ministry supply room. That's the bathroom you're still going to use. The kids restrooms in the classrooms are for the kids only. So please do not use those restrooms, even though they are easily accessible. The second part of our bathroom diaper policy is for the kids. So you know, only women are allowed to assist children in the bathroom and when changing diapers. We do not allow men to do that. There's a variety of reasons, and we're aware, a double standard, and we're okay with that. It just looks different and feels different if a parent sees a man changing a diaper or taking a kid to the restroom than a woman. And so to set parents' minds at ease, we only allow women to assist children in the restroom and when changing diapers. If physical help is needed, try to verbally coach the child if he or she needs help. If they need physical help pulling up their underwear or their pants, quickly help and then step back. Never, ever help a potty trained child wipe. Now, sometimes, like the little ones that are being potty trained, they are not comfortable wiping. So what you would want to do is either coach them through it by verbally explaining, or if they need more extensive help or they refuse to do it, you'll have the call, contact the coordinator once again, and they will page the parent or guardian to assist the child in the restroom. You are not allowed to wipe a child. Of course, unless you are changing a diaper. And if you are changing a diaper, when you do your training for nursery and toddlers or twos and threes, you will be given instructions on how to do that diaper changing procedure. The next policy is our social media policy. So Reality Kids volunteers, that's you, are not allowed to take photos of any kids or post them onto your personal social media account, unless an exception is given by me or Karina, who is also on staff. She's the kids ministry coordinator who does your scheduling. And we might ask you occasionally to take photos and then send them to us, but it's because we're going to need content for something that's upcoming and we have to be in another room. And so we might ask you for help. But otherwise, unless we ask you, please do not take any photos of the kids. The next policy is the cell phone policy. So when working with kids, volunteers must put their cell phones away unless using their phone for volunteer purposes. So say that you needed to contact the coordinator, you needed to text them, or maybe you needed to set a timer because that really helps kids with their transitions, or maybe the room just needs some background music, so you play some background music, that's fine. But please don't be on your phone taking a call, texting people, scrolling on social media. Please just put your phone away because your attention really does need to be present on what's happening in the class and with the kids. It could be unsafe if you're on your phone and something is happening and you miss it. So please keep your phones away. The next is a procedure, and this is our check-in and check-out procedure. So the first part is check-in. So when kids get checked into your class, make sure the kids have a name tag and their parents have a matching security label. There's going to be an alphanumeric number on the kid's name tag and that parent's security label, and they will match, so we know that they go together. So make sure they have those ahead of time. Then have the parents sign their child in on the clipboard, the classroom clipboard. It's like a sign-in sheet where they write the child's name. They write that alphanumeric code that's on their two stickers and any other instructions that they feel like they need to give us. And then remind the parents to have their phone out while they're in church in case we need to text them and to bring their, in case we need to text them. So say that their child is crying or they get sick or they get injured, we will want to contact that parent right away. And we want to make sure that that they're mindful of that. And then also remind them to bring that security label for when they check out their child. They're going to need that security label to check out, if they have multiple kids, every single one of their children, because all of those codes match in that family. So that's how we do a check-in. Now, the checkout is very particular, and I'm just wanting to set that now, that expectation now. How it goes is when a parent or guardian arrives to pick up a child, we need to verify the matching security code every single time. This means whether you know the family or you don't know the family, every time you have to check. It's even me, if I'm in a classroom and I'm the director and I know a lot of the families, even me, I will require parents that I know very well to still show their security label. And I the same is expected for you. If the guardian or the parent does not have that security label, you will need to find the coordinator to verify if they are authorized to check out that child or not. We'll go into more details in this when you listen to your age specific trainings. But just know that a guardian receipt is always required. Okay, the next policy is a safe touch policy. So volunteers must maintain appropriate physical boundaries with children and their co-volunteers. Do not engage in any physical punishment such as grabbing, hitting, punching, pinching, or touching private body parts. Also, no tickling, wrestling, roughhousing, massaging, or giving back rubs. It's really easy to like tickle a child, but sometimes it actually makes the kids really uncomfortable. That has happened in the past, and so we just require no tickling at all in kids ministry. If you are serving with infants to two-year-olds, physical touch is required for basic care needs. Like, you cannot serve with them without including physical touch. However, Unless you're changing a diaper, there is never any reason to touch a child's private body parts. Now, I want to make sure that you understand how to change a diaper, so please refer to the nursery toddler training for the proper way to safely change a diaper. Or if you are serving with 2 and 3 year olds, that diaper changing procedure will also be in there. Now, if you are serving with 3 year olds and older, do not touch any area of a child's body where a bathing suit would cover. Also, no lap sitting. This one's really tricky. If a child wants to sit on your lap, encourage them to sit next to you. So very frequently a kid, especially the younger ones, will want to sit on your lap, like 4 year olds and 5 year olds. And what I will say is, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you want to sit with me. Here, sit right next to me and you can be my buddy. And they love that. They're like, they never get upset about that. They're always super stoked. So they'll just snuggle up right next to me and it's great. It is okay to give gentle reassurance to a child, like a physical gentle reassurance to a child, like a high five, a fist bump, a gentle pat on the shoulder or the upper back. Sometimes it's necessary when like soothing a child when they're nervous. So just keep it to the high fives, the fist bumps, gentle pats. If a child does initiate affection, such as a hug, when that's very, very, very common, it's okay to give a hug in response. That's fine. But a side hug would be preferred. But again, sometimes it's just hard to keep it at just a side hug when they're going straight at you with both arms. And so just know a side hug would be preferred, but we're not going to get upset if they go in for a hug and you give them both arms. It's going to be okay. And unless it is a safety issue, do not pick kids up or carry them. So like no shoulder sitting, no back piggyback rides, no picking them up off of the ground. That's just not safe. And we, of course, really value the safety of our children. So the next policy is called what we call a present parent or guardian policy. So we in Reality Kids are partnering with parents and guardians to help their children transition well into Reality Kids and have the best kids ministry experience that they can. Therefore, we allow parents and guardians to stay in the room with their child if deemed helpful and or necessary. So like if kids are having a hard time hanging in the room, especially babies and preschoolers, like they usually have the hardest time. That having the parent help them transition in and be present is very helpful. However, since most parents are not approved kids ministry volunteers, we require all parents and guardians to follow some guidelines. The first is to limit their interaction with the other kids to just their own children. So to not talk with the other kids and to not play with the other kids or help the other kids in the classroom, but to really just keep their focus on their child. They are required to not take photos while in the classroom. Same as you guys, we don't allow any photos to be taken unless we give permission. And it's very rare that we're gonna give permission. And so we especially don't want the parents to take photos while they're in the classroom. And then also to step outside of the class if they need to use their phone. If they need to have a talk on the phone with somebody it's just really disrespectful to do it while they're in the classroom, especially if it's a class that has curriculum and they're doing lesson and stuff. It could be very distracting for the kids and it's just not appropriate. So we would just ask them to kindly step out. If a parent requests to stay in the class, kindly welcome them, but also clearly set the expectation and requirement as mentioned above, to limit their interactions again with their own child. If they don't limit their interaction, again, please just kindly remind them of the expectation, or if that's really uncomfortable for you, don't hesitate to contact the coordinator who can then speak with a parent or guardian. So that is our present parent/guardian policy. The next policy is our perfume and essential oil policy. Volunteers must not wear any perfume, scented lotions, scented hand sanitizers, or essential oils whilst serving Reality Kids. There are volunteers, parents, and children who are severely allergic to these items, And wearing perfumes and essential oils can cause swift and severe allergic reactions for some of our students and families. If you do smell strongly of a perfume or essential oil when you arrive, you might be asked to either remove it or to not serve that day. And that's a really awkward conversation to have, and we really don't want to have it. But if for the safety of our kids and our families and other volunteers, it might be necessary. So please just don't wear them, and then it won't be a problem. And then the next is our emergency procedure. This is still kind of being ironed out, but in case of a fire, earthquake, or other emergency, take your kids and your clipboard outside of the building onto the blacktop on the corner of Ralston and Saratoga, unless otherwise instructed. So this is the big blacktop area where the kids usually run around and play when they have, if they go outside, the elementary kids, where they go and play. So that's where you would go. There is a gate. There is a gate to get over there, and the code for that gate is 1954, 1954. And if you, that'll help you get into that area. To help you remember it, that's the same address as the building we used to be in before we moved into the building where we're currently at on the corner of Ralston and Saratoga. So again, you will want to keep your class together and wait until the parents have come to retrieve their child. And then finally, we have our behavior issue policy and procedures. Now, this is something that could be a whole standalone training that people could frequently have questions about, but we really do want you to know that when we have these behavior policies and procedures, it's never meant to shame kids. It's never meant to bring them down. It really is meant to be constructive and to build them up. And we always want to do it in a way that reflects the gospel. And so the way that we do this is going to be a little bit different, or could be a little bit different than how you do it at home, or you might do it in a school classroom. So I hope that this is informative and actually you understand. If you ever have any questions about this, please do not hesitate to ask. So our behavior issue policy and procedures. In order to have consistency in our discipline policy, we have defined pathway to help Reality Ventura kids volunteers know how to navigate challenging behavior. Our hope is that the way we discipline kids would reflect the gospel, as I mentioned before. It is helpful to keep in mind that behavior is very often a form of communication, especially for kids. So number one, if challenging behavior, often challenging behavior can be related to a lack of connection, boredom, confusion, and or just being dysregulated with their emotions. The best way to set yourself up for success is by preparing mentally and spiritually before you arrive on a Sunday. Being prepared helps you remain present, calm, and attentive in the classroom, even in challenging situations. Lesson plans and leader study guides can be found online at realityventura.com/kids/volunteer. So that's where you would go to prepare for your lesson. So when you're walking into a classroom, you know what's going to happen. So you don't have to be distracted from the kids trying to figure out what's going on. You can be totally present with them and build those connections. Number two, if a child does have challenging behavior, prayerfully discern the cause of the behavior. Because again, as I mentioned before, it's often a form of communication. Anyway, pay attention to the child's unspoken needs, such as the need for extra positive attention, a short break, inclusion, and so on. And then do your best to help meet that need. So if a child is misbehaving and it's because everybody wants to play with one kid but not him, that's that behavior that he might be acting out in is because he wants to be included. And so we can try to help meet that need. It may not actually be because his heart is in this bad spot. It's just he feels left out, and that makes him feel sad. The next is number 3. If a challenging behavior persists even after meeting that need, rather than singling out the child right away, address the class as a whole. So don't single out the kid. Say to the whole class, like, oh, I hear voices right now. Remember, it's my turn to talk and your turn to listen. Or, hey, I hear some noises over here in this corner of the room. Remember, everybody, we're working on this other thing right now. And so that way you're not singling out that one child, which can be kind of a lot right away for the kids. And very frequently the kids respond to that general addressing. The fourth part is if behavior continues to be an issue, so the child is still behaving in a certain way that is challenging, physically meet them at their eye level and lovingly speak one-on-one with the child. So for instance, you can say the child's name. Remember, it's my turn to talk and your turn to listen. It is helpful if the assistant in the room actually do this step instead of the leaders, so that the leader can continue leading. So that assistant might be like, hey, so-and-so, remember, it's the teacher's turn to teach and your turn to listen. Let's turn on our listening ears. So they're gently reminding them one-on-one, but it's not a scolding. It's just like a redirecting. Number 5, if steps 1 through 4 do not seem to help, which can happen, have the child regroup or reset by separating them from the group and lovingly asking these questions and say these statements. So when I say regroup and reset, I'm not saying a timeout. We don't do timeouts in kids' ministry. What we do is we help them kind of like have a new restart, kind of like recalibrate them and give them a restart. We're doing it with them. And so the first thing you would say is, so what's going on? Just ask them that question. Then take time for them to process. Usually that takes 7 seconds. Give them 7 seconds to process, then listen to the response and repeat what they said so they know that you understand what they're saying. They want to be heard, and we all want to be heard. And so just repeat it like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. I hear what you're saying. Number 2, what you say is, well, right now we are fill in the blank. What is it that we're doing? Are we playing, we're praying, we're making crafts, we're having discussion, whatever it is. So right now we're fill in the blank. And when you mention the behavior that you are witnessing, when you are talking, for instance, it blank, it affects the class or this other child in this way. So for instance, right now we are having discussion, but when you are talking to your neighbor, it prevents us from being able to discuss the story and hear each other. And so, number 3, what do you think you could do differently to help us like have this discussion time? And then give them some time to think about that. Again, 7 seconds to help them process. And if they need help, you can give them some suggestions and remind them of the expectation of that time, like what the expectation of their behavior would be for that time. When they come up with an idea, or when you give one to them, you can say, that's a great idea. Okay, let's go do that. Let's go back to class. Let's do that. However, and we're going to tell them the consequence if they continue. If this behavior continues, I might need some support. So I'll need to call the coordinator to talk with us. So do you think you could help us? Do you think you could like not do that again, whatever the thing is? And then you would just reintroduce them. So it's not shaming, it's building them up and helping them move forward in class in a constructive way. So then number 6, as indicated in the last question, if the challenging behavior still persists, it is important, and this is a step that a lot of volunteers struggle to do, but it is so important, is to actually follow through and contact the coordinator. The coordinator is not going to shame them. The coordinator is not going to get mad at them. The coordinator is just going to have a similar conversation like the one that you just had with the kid. And so, it's not a scary situation, but it is kind of a little bit of a wake up call. But number four for the coordinator is after they say, okay, that's a great idea, let's do that. If the behavior still persists, we're going to need to call your parents, which is number seven. If the challenging behavior still continues, call the coordinator again. The coordinator will invite the parents to come support the situation. One of our goals is to partner with parents. If their child has challenging behaviors, even after many warnings and conversations, it is necessary. It is absolutely necessary that they become involved. Our desire is the child would be reintroduced back into the classroom, but the parent may choose to check their child out of the class instead. So, if you're a parent and your child is over and over and over again misbehaving, despite lovingly being corrected and reminded and warned, you're going to want to know about it. And so we want to make sure that we're partnering with parents. It's very rare that we have to escalate it all the way up to here. Usually we just get to the coordinator. Usually the conversation, the problem stops when you address the child one-on-one. And also when you have to like have them regroup. Very rarely do we have to call the coordinator, but even more rarely do we have to call parents. So that is it. Thank you so much for listening to the Reality Kids Policies and Procedures. I hope that this time was informative and very helpful and you feel set up for success as you start serving in kids ministry. Have a blessed day.